Acts chapter 18. Paul preaches at Corinth. After these things, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. And he found a certain Jew called Aquila, a man of Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to leave Rome. And he went to them, and because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them, and they worked together, because they were all tent makers. So Paul, like all the rabbis, the Jewish sort of religious leaders of those days, he had a trade, and his trade was at being a tent maker. So Paul was not totally sort of unaware of practical life, just like Jesus was a carpenter. And so Paul was a real working man who knew exactly what it was to bang your finger or your fingernail with a hammer when you made a mistake when you were working and things like that. So when you read Paul's letters later on, this isn't just Paul talking sort of very high sort of theory. He was a real person, just like Jesus was real. And Paul used to reason in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuade both Jews and Gentiles, people who aren't Jews. But when Silas and Timothy came down from Macedonia, Paul was occupied with the preaching of the word, testifying to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ or the Messiah. So there was this Messiah, the Christ, spoken of in the Old Testament, this Saviour who would come, who would be the great descendant of Abraham and David, and who would reign forever, and who would die and come back to life. And Paul was sort of joining the dots for the Jews. He's saying, look, this person the Old Testament keeps talking about is Jesus of Nazareth. So that's what it means when it says that he explained to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ. And when they opposed him, he shook out his clothes and said to them, your blood is on your own heads. I am innocent. Well, that's going back to what God said in the Old Testament through Ezekiel, that if you know God's truth, you've got to tell it to other people. Because if you don't, then if they die because they didn't know and believe the gospel, it'll be your fault. But if you tell them the gospel and they refuse it, well, then it will not be, as it were, on your head. Now, that's an idea that's really challenging, because do the people in our lives, our neighbours, the people we play with, work with, study with, do they actually know about the gospel? Because here Paul basically says to them, look, I have preached, and so now, because you refused it, your blood is on your own heads. I am innocent. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles. Well, actually, Jesus had told Paul right at the beginning that he was to go to the Gentiles. And in fact, in another place we read that it was Peter's job to preach to the Jews. And if Paul had focused on the Gentiles, he might not have gotten so much trouble. But all the time, he seems to go into the synagogues, whichever city he came to, and start arguing with the Jews. And of course, it was the Jews, therefore, who got cranky with him and persecuted him, and he suffered so much from them. And we just wonder, if he had focused upon what God wanted him to do, which was to go to the Gentiles, maybe there wouldn't have been all this problem, or so many problems for him. But even now, when he says, oh, from now on I'm going to go to the Gentiles, well, he says that a couple of times. And he always still seems to go back to arguing with the Jews. Anyway, Paul left there and went into the house of a man called Titus Justus, a man who worshipped God, whose house was next to the synagogue. And Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed in the Lord Jesus with all his family, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. So you believe and you are baptized because you hear the word of the gospel. So as Paul says in Romans, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's why a baby can't be baptized, because they haven't heard the gospel, and therefore they haven't believed, and therefore they can't be baptized. But if we do hear and we believe, then we can be baptized. And during the night in a vision, the Lord said to Paul, don't be afraid, but speak, and don't keep quiet, for I am with you, and no one is going to attack or harm you, for I have many people in this city." And Paul lived there for a year and a half, teaching the word of God among them. But when Gallio was the proconsul of Achaia, the Jews gathered together, and they rose up against Paul and brought him before the judgment seat, saying, "This man persuades men to worship God contrary to the law." But when Paul was about to open his mouth, Gallio said to the Jews, "If indeed it were a matter of wrongdoing or being a criminal, O you Jews, it would be logical that I should listen to you. But if you're coming with questions about words and names and about things from your law, look to it yourselves. I refuse to be a judge of these matters." And he chased them away from the judgment seat. And they all laid hold on Sosthenes, the ruler of the synagogue, and beat him before the judgment seat. And Gallio didn't care. And Paul, having stayed there for many days, left the believers, and with Priscilla and Aquila, he sailed to Syria, having shaved his head in Cenchrea because he had made a vow. So you see that although Paul was a Christian and was teaching that you don't need to keep the law of Moses, he, as he says in another place, tried to be all things to all men. And to the Jews, he said, "I became a Jew that I might win the Jews. To the Gentiles, I became as a Gentile that I might win the Gentiles." So I think that this shaving his head and making a vow, that's a promise to God to do something, I think that that was an example of him making himself as a Jew so that he would be attractive to the Jews. And they came to Ephesus, and Paul left them there. But he entered into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. Well, he's just earlier said in the other town that I'm not going to turn to the Gentiles now, give up with the Jews. But as I say, he keeps coming back to these arguments of the Jews that I do just wonder whether his life might have gone easier if he had done what Jesus wanted him to do, which was to focus on the Gentiles. It's the same with us. If we don't exactly go in the way that the Lord wants us to go, it may not be a sin of itself, but we can certainly make life a lot harder for ourselves than it need be. When they'd asked him to stay a longer time, Paul didn't agree, but he left them saying, "I will return again to you, God willing." So again, you see this habit of saying, "God willing," because our lives are totally in God's hands. Paul then set sail from Ephesus, and when he'd landed at Caesarea, he went and greeted the church, and then he went down to Antioch. And having spent some time there, he left and went through the whole area of Galatia and Phrygia, strengthening all the disciples. So he's spending his whole life going around to people he's baptized or other people have baptized, trying to encourage them. Because, of course, they didn't have any New Testament as we have it. All they had was the memory of the message that he had preached to them. And yes, if they could read, and if they were Jewish, they could go to the Old Testament scrolls that were in the synagogues. But generally, all they had as far as the message of Jesus was concerned was the memory of what had been told them. And so this kind of following up was really important. Now, a certain Jew called Apollos from Alexandria, an eloquent man, had come to Ephesus, and he was mighty in the scriptures. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being very enthusiastic, he spoke and taught accurately the things about Jesus, although he only knew the baptism of John. And he began to speak very boldly in the synagogue. But when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. And when he decided to go into Achaia, the brothers encouraged him and wrote to the disciples to receive him. And when he arrived, he helped those who, through grace, had believed. So you see, you believe not because you are so strong. Faith, as Paul says, is the gift of God. And it was through grace, through the gift of God's Spirit, that they had believed. For he powerfully refuted the Jews openly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was the Christ, the Messiah.